Good morning, church family. Please turn in your Bible now to Paul's letter to the Romans. As we continue to roam through the book of Romans, we're in chapter 12 this morning. And so we'll take a reading from chapter 12 and verse 1 through to verse 13. Romans 12 and verse 1. The apostle says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. In this passage of scripture today, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that the church is like a body. The members of the body have different functions, but they all belong to each other, just like a human body. One body, many members, all gifted by God to function so that the purpose of God can be accomplished through the body. Christ is our living head. We are members of his body, and our membership in his body defines who we are and what we are and how we are to function. The body is fearfully and wonderfully made. So is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to function like a body under the lordship of Jesus. And so it's vital that we understand who we are in relation to God and to each other, because when a church allows the presence of God to be manifested and expressed through its worship and life and service and witness, then a watching world will be drawn to its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. A church is, as you know, not an organization. It is not a denomination. It is not a building. It is a body. It is God's people who have been redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus that we remember at our communion service this morning. We need to remember then that as members of the body of Christ, in the first instance, we are uniquely related to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that matters and every matter that is discussed and dealt with in the church of the Lord is to come under the headship of Jesus. We only have one head. It is the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus appoints members of his body, the church, for different functions. He appoints some to be equippers within the body. And the section on the giftings in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, tells us specifically about that. That God gifts some within his body to be apostolic missional types, to be so gifted by God's grace that they can take a lead in the spread of the kingdom of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus, in establishing, planting, overseeing the advance of God's kingdom through his church in church planting. And then God gifts some as those who are equipped through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to declare the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They are sort of prophetic types. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit to make known the mind and the heart, the word and the will of God to his people. And then there are the evangelistic types who God has gifted to take the gospel to those who yet are to be reached with the good news about Jesus and to bring in a harvest. We're all witnesses to Jesus, but there are those whom God specifically equips and gifts in a ministry of evangelism. And then there are those who shepherd the results, those who are pastors and those who are teachers, who watch over the local congregation and who feed the sheep of God. And so God equips the church with equippers so that, in the words of Paul to the Ephesians, every member is grown to maturity, where every member can express their particular giftedness for the good of the whole body. So, primarily, we are all uniquely related to the Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church, Lord of all. Then we are uniquely related to each other by the Holy Spirit of Christ, who has regenerated us, given new birth into the family of God, to every repentant sinner who puts his or her faith in Jesus. And so, by the Spirit of Jesus, we're all incorporated into this one body, the family of God. We're all living stones being built into this holy temple in the Lord, in which he dwells by his Spirit. So, by the indwelling Holy Spirit of Jesus, we are all uniquely related to each other in the body, just like the members of the body are related to the head and to one another. Every member has identity and function because of their place in the body, and their relationship to the other members of the body. So here we are all receiving orders from our living head, the Lord Jesus, and here we are all passing on the orders and the nourishment to one another. And here we are, and we have identity and function in the body of Christ, in the unique way in which we are related to one another, in accordance with the giftings that God has given to us, each one. And so we are interdependent on the other members of the body of Christ. We all need each other to be what God wants us to be, to hear what God wants us to hear, and to do what God wants us to do. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We're all brought into one family, one body, and uniquely joined not only to Christ, but to each other as members of that one body. We cannot do without each other, as our Romans and Corinthians readings this morning have shown. Often Christians have a very distorted view of the church. We think of it as an organization or an institution or some kind of religious club or a denomination or a building. And we talk about going to church, And in a sense, we do go to church because we go to the gathering, the assembly of God's people. And that's what the church is. But we are the church. We don't just go to the church. We are the church, and we are to be the church that God wants us to be. So we're not only uniquely related to Christ and uniquely related to each other. It doesn't stop there. We are uniquely related to the world into which God has placed us as his body. We are the voice, we are the hands, we are the feet, we are the heart of the Lord Jesus, our living head. We are here to make visible the invisible Christ, who is our living head, through the way in which we operate by the grace of God in the church. So we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're not here simply to get blessed. We're here to carry out the Father's redemptive purpose. We're here as God's fellow workers. As a church, we're here to see where God is at work and join him in his redemptive mission. And we rejoice to do that as a local church. The Apostle Paul always makes it clear in his letters that we are to be before we are to do. And I appreciated the hymn that we have just sung, which teaches us, as Paul teaches us, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit of Jesus is essential to the effective ministry of the gifts that the Lord Jesus gives to his church. God is primarily interested in us being full, whole human beings before we become human doings. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the likeness of Jesus in our life and character, is essential to the effectiveness of the spiritual gifts and ministries that God bestows upon his church. And so Paul begins in this chapter by saying, offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And don't be squeezed into this world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can know and do and enjoy God's perfect will. Because it is faith and hope and love, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of the members of the body that makes the body effective as light and salt in the world. God is interested in his people then being humble and holy and united and filled with love for each other. It is the most excellent way, 1 Corinthians 13, without which the gifts will fail. And so in chapter 12 and verses 6 to 8, Paul mentions seven gifts, seven random examples of the many gifts that God has given to the church. The New Testament lists about 24 or 25 of them. The point the apostle is emphasizing is that every member of the body of Christ, the church, must function according to their giftedness and do so in such a way that it reflects the heart and the nature of the Lord Jesus. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of God at work in the life of the members of his body for the common good of the body. So what is church? It is the body of Christ on earth, growing into his likeness as each member of the body helps the others through their giftedness. What does the church do? Under the sovereign anointing of its head, Holy Spirit-filled members of the body are to proclaim the good news to the poor, they are to bind up the brokenhearted, they are to release those who are imprisoned by selfishness and sin. The church is God's body on earth to continue the ministry of Jesus until he comes again. Do you hear me? The church is Christ's body on earth to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world until he comes again. That's what church is all about. And when the church functions like a body, it is without doubt the most thrilling, the most satisfying, the most fulfilling, literally the most wonderful thing in the world. And the church at its worst is still better than the world at its best. When the members of Christ's body are ministering to the Lord in worship, as we've been doing this morning, that's the church working. When its members minister to each other in giving, in caring, in helping, in teaching, in healing, in discipling, that's the body working. When the sick are visited, when the needy are fed and clothed, when the children are taught, when the home fellowships meet together, and they share, and they care, and they study God's word, and they pray, that's the body working. And when students are trained, and when full-time workers are equipped and commissioned, that's the body working. And there's nothing in the world that can match it or beat it. Now, Dr. Henry Blackaby, who's been a great influence in my own life and ministry, and had the joy of hosting him on a few occasions in the church that I pastored in Meadow Ridge, he has 20 statements that I'm going to put on the screen. He'll forgive me for tweaking one or two of them just a little bit. But I want you to follow me as we put these onto the screen now, and one by one, follow through these 20 statements, and you're in for a real treat this morning. You are really being spoiled by being given these 20 statements that sum up what the body of Christ really is and how the body of Christ really functions. Are you ready? Here we go. A church is a body, the body of Christ. It's not your body, it's not my body, it's not my church, it's not your church. It is Christ's church, and we are his body. Secondly, every member is placed in the body as it pleases God. God is the one who adds members to his body. Three, Christ builds his church through the spiritual leaders who facilitate the equipping of the members for the Holy Spirit-empowered service that God has gifted them for. For God has made us mutually interdependent. We need each other, and we must therefore respect each other and be rightly related to each other. Number five, as I function in relation to the church, I depend on others in the church to help me understand God's will. Number six, if the members are not talking about what they sense God is doing, the whole body is in trouble. The church is a body of believers who are hearing what God is doing and talking about what God is doing. And if that's not happening, we're in trouble. Seven, when God builds a local church like this fellowship, he adds members to the body and trains them to match the assignment that he has for that body. He adds every member purposefully and intentionally, not accidentally. Eight, when one member is missing or not functioning as God intended, the rest of the body will miss out on the fullness of life God has intended for the church. Did you hear that? Number nine, a church needs to learn to function as the body of Christ. Number ten, apart from the body, I cannot know God's will for my relationship to the body. Number 11, every member then needs to be listening to what the other members are saying about what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Number 12, every member of the body is gifted for ministry to the Lord, ministry to the body, and ministry to the world. There's no such person as a Christian who is not gifted graciously by God to function in the body and in the world. Number 13, Jesus is present as head of a local church to give life and direction to every member. Number 14, a spiritual gift is simply a manifestation of God graciously working through you. Number 15, right relationships with God and each other are far more important than buildings and budgets and programs and methods and church personnel and size or anything else. It all hinges on relationships. So a true congregation of God's people will be highly relational. Number 16, God can do anything he chooses through a church that is rightly related to him. God can reach the ends of the earth through a church that is rightly related to him. I like number 16, don't you? God can do anything he chooses through a church that is rightly related to him. Number 17, a church is on mission with Christ in the world, carrying on the Father's redemptive purpose. A watching world, number 18, will only see Christ in his church if there is a manifestation of holiness, unity, and love. Number 19, people come to know God when they see his nature and his works expressed through his church. And finally, if you and your church are not responding to God and attempting things that only God can accomplish, then you're not exercising faith and you have nothing to show a watching world. Pretty powerful. Right on target. If you want the points, just email Margaret and she'll send them to you. What a wonderful introduction to the Lord's table. You see, the church is a communion of the saints that is in communion with the Lord. And so Jesus now invites us to meet with him in this communion service this morning. And we come as members of the body of Christ. We come humbly. We come in contrition. We come as those who are filled with gratitude for the great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we recognize once again this morning that the greatest privilege in the world is to be in the world, but not of the world. To be salt and light in a desperate, lost and dying world. Because we have been redeemed through the body and blood of Christ given to us on the cross. And we thank you this morning that we can gather around this table and remember Jesus, our living head, our Redeemer and our Lord, in his own appointed way. Be glorified now, Lord, as we continue to worship through Christ our Redeemer. Amen.